Amen. In the name of Lord Jesus, we continue with our study of the book of 1 Timothy. Now we come to 2.
Mushna kwa Yesu, Christu, Gala Gaira, Utsan Giri Bukla Fatimot, Madhai Samu chapter 2.
Now, from chapter 2 onwards, here Paul talks about praying for all men.
Chapter 2, Gaira, Tuangfa, Paulo, Adelan, Dao, Pekwira, Arantuosu.
Now, here Paul asks that Timothy learn to pray
Paulo aipsha Timothy kusambira ukupela wonse.
And this includes praying for the king.
Eki devimba no kupela po ishan kumo.
All those who are in authority and in power.
Awa demimaka nambu tungurushi.
You know they should be prayed for.
Afuleva pepelewa.
Believers may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness
and goodness.
I think in Romans, we also talk about this, isn't it? We can turn to Romans. Romans talks about being submissive yet to governments.
Roma alanda ufuna kila ukubaba na kila kuteko.
In chapter 13, we are told that the authority in this world that exists are appointed by God.
In chapter 13, we have a chubu tungu shivonso wa mune sonde wabi kwa kuna lesa.
So the authorities are like the God's ministers.
Echo ubu tungu shiwa wakwati
So you know they are put in in existence to judge the wicked.
Lari kwa po mukuba po mukutingula bampula mafunde.
We also see this in First Peter, right?
Na kaya pwede sanga muri pita wakwali la po.
To First Peter.
Chapter 2.
Verse 13.
Verse 18.
And again here we are told that we must not submit ourselves to every ordinance of men. Submit ourselves to every institution of man for the
Lord's sake.
So, whether to the king as supreme or to governor, in 1 Timothy, Paul goes one step further by saying that we must also pray and intercede for them.
Think about the
importance of interceding for everyone and for all the people of the world. I think this is a way to cultivate a kind of spirit to care for the entire humanity. We know that preaching the gospel is to save the humanity from sin. To do the work requires a certain drive and dynamism. Now, where does this drive come from?
Come
from the care for humanity. So if we can bring ourselves to pray for everyone in the world, obviously we cannot practically name mention everyone's name.
Aisa mutuntu pepera omola omuchite chinde kinombura omola omo
shinao. If we can intercede for humanity in general,
ukuti wapepera ko
umuntu, we actually build up this heart of care for the world in our prayer.
Sometimes
we pray very hard for our own local churches. Especially the church that we are in. Why? Because we love the church. But for us to pray for churches that we have never visited before, or to pray for all the TJC members worldwide, becomes something like too far-fetched. Because you are not able to know exactly, you know, the situation of each church. You do not even know all the members. So sometimes it is difficult to pray for them. Because there is always a gap between us and, you know, the rest of the world. But for us to do the work of God, yeah, to save soul, we must learn to pray for humanity at large. The world at large. If you put your heart into prayer for them, you will cultivate this care for others. So you find that, yeah, you know, it will become a motivating force in your ministry
work.
You will not restrain yourself from preaching to others. Because of this, what you call a caring momentum within you. Okay, now we look at verse 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Paul is saying that, you know, such a practice is good in the eyes of our God the Savior.
Paul also that he may be the
because God Himself desires all men to be saved. And to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's why just now we said here, we learned how to pray for the entire humanity. We also build up this sense of responsibility towards them. You remember we studied Romans,
yeah?
We turn to Romans chapter 1. We read verse 14.
Romans chapter 1 verse 14.
I am a debtor both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to wise and to unwise. So as much as I is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. Surely Paul did not know every Greek. Nor did he know every barbarian. How is it that he fell indebted to them? So he must have cultivated this heart to care for the entire humanity through prayer. So likewise today, if we want to preach the gospel, it is not just about planning how to do the work. You find that this heart for the world must be there.
le bouffeur doit être
prêt. For the world must be
ready. Oyomutima, we should have a hurry for Sakamana.
So that wherever we go,
the gospel of life,
we are always driven by this urge to preach.
We want to share
with people the goodness of the
gospel. Return back
to 1 Timothy.
1
Timothy chapter 2.
Now we look at
verse
5.
For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time.
Pamulandu wabonse igita shimikwe ubunte moista yene.
Therefore talks about Christ that came into this world as a mediator.
Paula sote Kristo aisha mchalo kuba ndakawekishana.
He gave himself a ransom for everyone.
Aye pera maningi achubulo kuri wamise.
But the only thing is this. That whether humanity
will
accept it or not is another matter. But here we can see the heart of God. He gave himself for all. So to cultivate this heart requires to learn to intercede for all. Sometimes we want to we know the importance of caring for everyone in the church, for
example.
Or everyone within our family. How can we care for them? You know, we are not born with this one, this mercy of God. We are not born with it. We have to adopt it. How can that be done? Through our intercessory prayer. So I think prayer is to me a mystery. Put it this way, prayer can work wonders. Prayer can change mindset. Prayer can equip our hearts for God. Right, now we look at verse 7. For which I was appointed a preacher and an
apostle.
Speaking the truth in Christ and not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. So it seems that Paul also had understood the heart of Christ. That is the pattern that Christ has set for him. He knew why he was appointed. Why was he appointed a teacher, a preacher, and an apostle? Actually, he is a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. So whether you are a preacher, an apostle, or a teacher, this title is not for yourself. But it's to accomplish the will of God. In this case, Paul knew it very well. It's for the Gentiles. Okay, now, again, that's what I said. We know that, you know. Nevermind, we continue, okay? Now, so this is how Paul, I believe, has adopted this heart to equip himself with this understanding to preach to whomever he met.
I'm going
to read the passage. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 28. We read the last two verses. Acts chapter 28, the last two verses. Therefore dwelt 2 whole years in his own rented house and received all who came to him.
Awe ai kere imi akaiwiri iituntulu munganda yakwe iya kushimina chuma alesekelela na wose abaleisa kuri wene.
Preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the thing which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no one forbidding him.
No kusamirisha ifya kwalesa
It seems that at that point in time he was under some sort of house arrest. So whoever came to him, the prison guards or whoever, came to him. Or the Roman officials. Or even the brothers and sisters or his neighbors. So whoever came to him, he preached the kingdom of God. How is it that when someone was under house arrest, could still preach the gospel so fervently? There must be something within him which drove him to do that. Right? Now, we come back to chapter 2. Now, any question from verse 1 to verse 7?
No?
Here it talks about how men and women should conduct themselves in the church. Paul get instruction to Timothy, so that Timothy can put in place a proper order in the church.
Paolo ha fede plangilo kuri Timothy pabutira Timothy ingabika ikyo grupo talukula kuba.
This is like the kind of code of conduct.
Yeah, rikwa tali mo nisha yomo yandela.
Now in verse 8, that men pray everywhere. He desire that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting.
Hecho nefwa ya abaume uko petwa moche resource vale india amaboko aya mushiro aba buro bukari nefitansa.
This is a message that Timothy must preach to the church.
Ye embira iyo timo afuro kushikira kukuta.
We know that man is the house of the family.
Adisha chumu aume emu tuwangan wa lukwa.
So he must learn how to pray.
Aya pula samire kushikira.
Paul says, without wrath and doubting. Meaning, brothers in particular must learn to read off, remove our anger. Yesterday we already briefly touched on that. Must not have doubt.
That
believe in fully in the faith.
Kedua, semua nak mesti terkelok ke kapo.
We turn to the First Peter.
Nah, pilih apa ni? Peter apa dia apa?
First Peter chapter 3.
Nah, Peter apa dia apa chapter 3?
Verse 7, ya.
Yeah. Verse 7.
First Peter chapter 3, verse 7.
First Peter chapter 3, verse 7.
Husband, likewise dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife, as to the weaker vessel, and as being heir together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered.
Mwebalume, ikare eniko fine na bakashibenu, omwabera okwishiba, nga kuchipe icha kosesha, mpepelele mumuchinshi, makuti muri bamo mubupiani mukusenaminwa kwa mweo.
Here Peter was more specific.
Apa Peter ai kwete chitu mocha kwa
he is talking about what a husband should do.
Abalanda ifyo omulume afire
ai. Or how a husband should treat his wife.
Nangu omulume afire asendo mukashi.
Paul says a husband must dwell with his wife with understanding.
Wa ula sote omulume afire ikala no mukashi.
He must give her what? Honor, meaning must respect the wife as well. You know, she must not be considered a slave in the house.
This
might have no place in the house. So she must be given honor. Why? Because together they shall inherit the kingdom of God. Otherwise, we find that here, his prayer will not be
happened.
Sometimes our prayers are not answered. Because we don't know how to treat our wives very well. So our prayer to reach God, we must change our attitude towards our
wives.
I think this is very important. Okay, we turn back to 1 Timothy. Now we look at verse 9. Here it talks about how women should conduct themselves or should adorn themselves. Paul is not saying that women should not, adorn themselves. I'm not sure about here. Do your women here put on makeup? Is it acceptable to you? Makeup?
No, in the other churches they don't allow that.
What about TAC? TAC, no. Why
should we know?
We don't see them. We don't see them. But what if they put? Do you disagree?
No. It depends on the type of makeup or the type of makeup.
Obviously.
More tasty, yeah.
Yeah, Paul says in moderation, isn't it?
Yeah.
Everything must be done in moderation.
Yes.
You cannot expect a working lady without any makeup. But it will be too much if she adorns herself in such a way that, you know, the upper lip is green and the lower lip is black. And here is red and here is yellow. One side of the hair is what? Purple or whatever, you know? That is too much, okay? But to attire oneself properly is not wrong. We can look at verse 9.
Verse 9.
He said, verse 10.
Verse 10.
By which is proper for women professing godliness with good works.
Como a la pasión a sangre es mal.
Gustavo.
Ello emili mo isuma iene aba na kashi batila tina nesa.
So godliness and the inner beauty should be treasured more than the outward beauty. That's why we encourage the sister of the church to do good works, with godliness. Sometimes we find that, you know, there are women, there are sisters in church, show no godliness. That is very difficult for the husband. How are you going to serve? If your wife does not show godliness, it will be very difficult. So, you know, we need to teach our wives, our daughters as well.
We turn to First Peter, chapter three. We read verse two and verse three.
When they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear, First Peter three.
Here
it teaches, you know, our sisters, if their husbands are unbelievers, this is how they can win the husbands over.
She must
show that she has this chaste conduct accompanied by fearing God. So the incorruptible beauty is a heart of gentleness and a spirit of quietness. This is very important. Right? Now, we turn back to First Timothy. Now we look at verse 11. Paul says, let a woman learn in silence with all submission. And I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man, but to be in silence. Some churches use this to say that women shouldn't preach in the church. But we find that like what Priscilla and Aquila. You also find that sisters do teach the youngsters. So, you know, here there is a problem in the church. So, obviously the woman, you know, probably wanted to be head, you know, to rule over man. You know, that's why Paul said no, they cannot teach. They must keep silent in the church. If you look at the reason given, that is in verse 4:13. For Adam was born first and Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived. Here Paul also highlights a very important point, that is, you know, the role of a sister or the role of a wife is to submit.
Right?
No, he's not saying that a sister cannot teach in the church. Okay, can someone explain verse 15? What is it? Nevertheless, she will be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith, love, and holiness with self-control.
Hello, Bakanakashi, Bakapushua, Mukufiala, Abana, Nga, Vaika, Dila, Mukutekera, Nakutama, Nakushira, Abo, Nakupetama.
Does it mean that the godly sister will definitely be saved from childbearing? In the Bible, who died in childbearing? While giving birth, she died. Who? What's the name? Rachel. But was she a godly woman? I don't think so. Was Rachel a godly woman?
Rachel is Monagas.
Why did you say not too sure?
Because if you look at the quarrel she had with her sister.
It's
quite unbelievable.
Actually, we see in the Bible also among the apostles, there were some devices. So we cannot say because there was some quarrel, maybe some issue, but maybe some good reasons. Because we see Paul refusing.
Okay. I show you a bit more.
Okay.
Now we turn to Genesis 6. Chapter 30, verse 1. Yeah?
Chapter 30, verse 1.
And now when Rachel saw that she bore Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister and said to Jacob, give me children or else I die.
Rachel hiyo amwene kuti nafiele abana kuri Yakobo elio leto ale kupila mnina kaili atide kuri Yakobo ndero abana icho nga takuri ndekwa.
Now read verse 3. So she said, here is my maid, Bilhah. Go in to her, and she will bear a child on my knees, that I also may have children by her.
Now ati le mona tishuko wani iya ingira uli wene nao apa ati le muka kamakufi.
Do you think she was a chaste woman?
Actually, I didn't see it in my case. I see that it's not which issue, like it's not in the Bible. You see another person again, Sarah reading the same. If you read the Sarah was the devotee.
No, that's why I said she was envied. She was
adequate Ufuba.
That's what an act out of what? Enviousness.
Adjective Ufuba.
Abraham was different. Abraham and this Sarah was different. No one was there to compete with her at that time.
Dapat nak ngomong anu cinta nak nampau.
No. She just waited for a child to come.
Yang ada pun dia rumah nampis.
Actually, she was happy to have.
Yang ada pun dia kuri wen.
But we can see that after she waited for the child came. Now, we see the anger from Sarah by chasing the maid with the child.
Do you know the reason why she?
He gave the permission without the anger. So we see the anger coming up.
Do you know the reason why she dropped them away?
I'm going to show you the child and half in his head.
The reason she gave was that.
No. Do you know the reason why she dropped them away? Because she became proud.
She despised
herself.
Despising, is it good?
Of course.
Is it Christian?
That's now the servant woman. She despised Sarah, and of course she picked up quarrels with her.
Yes,
she wanted the.
But pick up a fight.
So now Sarah says no.
Is it our choice?
Yeah.
Yes. About the product.
Because the other.
Otherwise, you this hand with this hand. Okay, we turn back to 1 Timothy. I'm willing to discuss with you over lunch. Okay, chapter 2. Now, verse 15. Now, here it says, nevertheless, you will be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith, love, and holiness with self-control.
Lelo abana kashi akapushua mukufiala abana nga baika dira mukutepekela no kutemwa no kushila pamo no kupetama.
No one is guaranteed that she will be saved from childbearing. No woman.
Omana kashi uashkinishua akapushua mukufiala.
Unless she is not married or unless she doesn't want to have any children. Otherwise, it's not guaranteed, is it?
I think actually,
why did Paul say that she would be saved in childbearing?
Anyone?
Talks about a woman, as a woman must continue in faith, love, and holiness. Paul also says that Eve was deceived, fell into transgression. But now, you find that, because of that sin, what happened? She was cursed. So she was cursed to bear the pain of childbearing. Now you can imagine if a sister does not remain in faith, love, and holiness, she will likewise be cursed. So childbearing represents a curse. So, meaning, if any sisters who remain in faith, love, and holiness, she will not be cursed.
You
understand what I'm saying? Childbearing childbearing is a curse, isn't it also?
Yeah.
So if a sister keeps herself in faith, love and holiness, she will not be cursed.
No, kashingai chivaka mukutemwa mukutetekela namukushirata.
It's not saying that she will be what? She will not suffer the pain of childbearing. What?
So which one is a curse? The childbearing or the pain in the childbearing?
I think both of them.
I think it's the first one.
I think every childbearing involves pain, isn't it?
One house collector, come on, pick up.
Is it not?
Yeah, please.
But if God intended that the man shall multiply, says go and multiply through the world. Yeah, it is a promise that he gave, but now after sin, then he says, I will increase the pain in the childbearing.
Yes.
So is it the pain, the curse, the excessive pain, the curse in childbearing?
I think after the sin, childbearing always comes with pain, isn't it?
So then looking at it like the pain in childbearing is the curse and not the childbearing itself.
But we know that childbearing always comes with pain, isn't it?
I don't think that one is the
number. Of course, but that was by God's word method. He said, now are you increase the childbearing?
Okay, that's what my question is. Can a godly sister be accepted from the pain in childbearing? Safe from it means you will be safe from the curse.
At the end of the Aravana, when Shiva received the chance to attend the Pamanobukai.
I spoke the way I spoke because it was long before the curse was passed on. the woman was already blessed to say you shall have children, not because the Lord said multiply.
No, you see, the point is because before she was cursed, she didn't have any children.
No, that if what happened tomorrow, you know.
The multiply is a command.
Opposan luka hipope.
But the curse, you know, childbearing only occurred after she has been cursed. Okay. Wait, never mind, think about it.
I have a question to say.
I can't hear you.
Hello?
I can't hear you.
Yeah, I have a question in the same. In fact, there are three questions.
Speak out.
Don't speak to yourself.
Okay. I have three questions from verse 8 to verse 15. So that is the first Timothy chapter 2. Verse 15 just reminded me of this question over our discussion here. So what will happen if at all time when the Lord is going to come. What will happen if the Lord comes for his church and then finding that someone who is a woman is a child and then that is the child there in time. So immediately after giving birth to that child and then the church is lifted up to heaven. So what will happen to that child?
That is a hypothetical question. I believe God will provide a way for the child to be baptized. So I want to concern about it. I will not be too worried about it. I will not be too worried about it.
Then another question is on verse 9 over the woman's dressing. So how about the hair extension? Is it allowed in the church?
Braided hair.
Yes.
Again, we said, yeah, everything must be done in propriety, properly. In moderation. Don't overdo it. If my hairstyle has caused a lot of annoyance in the church. Then I should change my hairstyle. Last question.
And then last question is on verse 8. So I desire therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up their holy hands. So on this point, since I came, I've never seen such lifting up holy hands.
If you want, you can do it, no problem. It's not a problem. Sometimes some people do. They watch it.
Those are the questions.
I think lifting up holy hands, yeah, does not necessarily refer literally to lifting up your
hands.
So if you pray everywhere, whatever your hands do. Must be holy. Obviously, he can refer to, practically, you lift up your head. But it's not a formality. We don't do that there.
I think you're going to have to do it.
first conduct. What about women's entry to the stage? Is it right to put on trousers?
Is there anything wrong to put on trousers?
That one, to refer to the vision of my vision, talks about the food is nice. This is talks about men's wear, women's wear, the objective is to make wear and women's wear. But when it comes to natural barriers, that's where to me I find it very difficult. Let's take the example here in Africa. Most of the African nations in the African culture, the way our dream of being what have been translated is that our women should be great. So we find that has been extended even to our churches. Finding the church, women should look like women, men should look like men in terms of clothing. But otherwise, when you look at the Western culture, there you find, I don't know if it is the out of court, the first being caught, if you go to desert places, you find the men also put on things like skirts in deserts.
We boy felt in Scotland.
In Scotland.
Yes, that's their culture also. That's a culture.
In Western also, in Zambia, we put on nitride, we put on that.
But we also borrowed that one.
Nitride, we put it on.
Well, you just borrowed it.
Yes.
You borrowed it from the British.
The British, yes. We respect that. We know that women should put on this
face. No, the point I want to make is this. You know, in the time of the scriptures, the biblical time, especially the Old Testament, what kind of garment did men put on? Just like skirt.
Before I can say on dressing, I had something that I thought I can share on the Adam, because there was something like Adam and the woman. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. I wanted to say something like this. I think as you were explaining, because faith that you notice under anything, but after you were explaining, when you started to say, here Paul is talking about the woman, and this woman is like, he went further up to Adam and Eve. So I was thinking that maybe also it was pointing to where Jesus would come to save the world through being born through a woman. Because Paul here went further than in the time we are talking about here. He went further to Adam. Meanwhile, Paul was not in the time of Adam. But why did he go up to Adam? So I will be thinking, if coming closer to say, a savior will come through a woman. Not necessarily that a woman, maybe through giving a child, then you will be saved.
But that point in time, Jesus has already ascended back to heaven.
Yeah, he's saying the Savior has come through a woman. That's what I'm thinking.
She will be saved in childbearing. You must not think that it's saved by Christ. This woman has already been saved.
Καλλιλάνε ότι η Αφιάκα που σου πήρα αν είχε πήρα τα δουλειές θα πρέπει στην έστω στην Αφιά Λόκαλη.
They were Christian.
Βάλι με ένα Χριστό, βάλι
ένα. Paul was talking to her, to believers.
Όλα λέει αν έχω βάλει και κένα.
Then coming to the issue of dressing, women, I think time has also changed. Many churches, as he has said, in Africa, like in Zambia, some churches they forbid women to put trousers. But as we were referring to a tribe in Zambia that puts skirts, there's even a church, a preacher man now, he preaches in a skirt. So I think, in my view, we have got special trousers that are made special for women. When you see the pattern, it's a pattern for a woman, and even a man, when buying, he will see that this trouser is not for me, this is for women. Even women, when they go to buy in shops, the pattern of the trouser, you will see that this one is shaped for a woman, the shape is for a woman. So to me, I don't see any reason that we can say today that, no, a woman, because of the culture, we should not allow this woman to put on a trouser. Because of the pattern of the trousers, totally different from the pattern of the trousers of a man. Today, the fashion.
So you are in favor, yeah?
Yeah, I'm in favor.
Okay, it's a question, but also a contribution. Now, here is an old lady, and in African culture, here is an old lady dressed in a skin jean. What's that called, a skin jean?
Skin tight.
Yes. It's a, you know, a trousers that is holding tight to the body. And right now, where they're making this thing, it's a, they use that soft material so it can really hold on their skin.
Yes, yes, yes.
To depict each and every body and mounted on a woman. Forgive me, we will get that. That is very easy. Okay, so here is an old lady, maybe in the 50s or 40s, dressed in a skin jean. Yes, depicting everything. And here is a child, which is just 5 years old, or maybe 2 or 3 years, dressed in the same. So that if one was to judge between that child and someone that is older, and maybe another, here we have an old woman who is dressed modestly, where one would not start thinking otherwise. So now, what would be someone's judgment? What do one think when one sees a woman that is dressed like she's in a bedroom? Let me say, oh, with such words. And a woman that is dressed ready to go on the street. So, what will someone think and what will someone say? And one thing that we miss out here is that, quite all right, a woman can put on a dress. But what I know is that they are, so you can put on a trousers, and a man can also put a trousers. But what I know is that if it is a woman's trousers, but of course it should not be something that is skinny, that is very tight. You know? And I should even believe that in those days, when we look back to where the faith has come from, I don't believe that the men used to put on these light material clothes. They were heavy garments. But if you look at the clothing of the women, that's where now we find a difference. So if it would be crazy indeed, even in those times or in that side where they put all those long robes, for a man to put on the material that is usually used to make a woman's dress. So that it will look very awkward. What is a man trying to do? Now what I've come to find is that the designers who design these clothes, they don't just design them from without. They design with an intention. In the past years, in the 90s, I read a newspaper where a designer wrote to say, a stained material is appeasing and it's nice if a woman wears it without anything inside, so that it brings out the inner beauty of the woman. I'm talking about the local industry now. But let's go out there. If you are to read the mind of the designers who have got the skin gene, what is the intention? What did he intend in the first place when he designed?
Okay.
So I think those are the areas that we need to.
Now, brother, what is your point?
My point.
What is your point? In relation to future partner, what is your point?
My point is, if someone puts on something that will bring other thoughts to someone closer, then it's not better for someone.
Yes,
point. No, it will lead someone to doing it wrong.
Yes, that's why Paul says everything must be done in propriety.
Yes.
Right? Yes. That's a principle. Hang on. That's a principle to follow. Even in the Western world, we will tell the sisters what you should wear and what you should not wear. You cannot come like bareback, you know, bare on your back to the church. Right? We never encourage sisters to wear tight jeans to the church. But if you say a sister cannot wear a pair of trousers, then it's very difficult to say. There are many proper trousers. They are designed for work. Alright, so everything must be done with propriety.
Alright.
The way I look at it myself, I believe in favor of what you're saying there. Because in our culture here in Zambia, mostly when you see a woman putting on a trousers, a trousers is not well made, especially to Africans. You find that when she's sitting there, tie, sometimes she has got a big tie, so it attracts the people. So that is different with someone who is putting on a very nice skirt, so which cannot even attract someone there. So to me, I see trousers being not okay, especially here in Zambia, where Christianity is concerned. I don't know to the other countries.
No, you see, to me, it's very simple. If this is not acceptable, that's fine.
Yeah.
Simple as that.
Yeah.
There's no problem. But my point is, you shouldn't judge those who wear it. Just like if you don't eat meat, you cannot judge those who eat.
Second, First Timothy chapter verse 9.
He said that he is not very much clear. Want to know what Paul is talking about concerning a dress circle. What should a Christian, what type of clothes a Christian should do?
Yes.
Fanto apa nak pun fokus kat awak nak kasih bapak dia wafara, ifi apa fara, ifi hari ini. Then ingat tu ayat tadi tu kita kumpian na First Peter chapter 3 verse 3 to 4. Atuku iwa mishapwe nukuwe te kwa mishishi ayili ino kwa kwa iwa kwa kwa mishi mishishi ayili ino kwa 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 mishi mishinda miwa kia god kia mdengo kia god na msiru kwa hivyo chapter 3, chapter 4, verse 4 atukuwe ukwa kuiwa misha ukati kamiti atiecha kufuana ichishiwa then we tuachita kuombea na Revelation chapter 19 verse 8 19 verse 8 sikai wampe ichakufuana ichishiwa chadineli ichavutisha katika ili ichicha kufwana ati emi vele yisuma so ino mkuchi muna kwandi bo tele randa fe papu fwala pati pafia kufwala fye fine ino kwa watu nolo keshe kumu pashi chile mwagwa vati ale landa kukwe vati mwana kashi ya kule akwata imisango yisuma barukuta
yisema ya ti imu wawe ya pastuta ambasuta desu ya seda was not prepared to do the first effort, but it was also spoken about how a woman should be to the church. Very well.
What did you mean about you?
Okay, we can turn to second, first in the teacher of the two. Now, you find that both Paul and Peter they did not specify what kind of dress code.
Yes, I'm going to put Paul and Peter to the wall if you have and she if you have a fellow of
here it says in modest apparel. With propriety and moderation. Okay, this is given. Right? It's like a general guideline. And if you read 1 Peter chapter 3, he said, do not let your adornment be merely outward. You must not just adorn something outward. Yeah? You must not forget adorning what is inward. That is even more important. Now you find that if your inward man is properly adorned, very naturally, you will know how to address yourself properly in what? In public. If a sister is a wild woman, not adorned with it, and that surely will reflect in her outward dressing. Because what she cares about is to attract men. To look very, very what, sensual. That's why you know the church will teach, you know, our brothers and sisters first to adorn what inside. If the inner man is properly adorned with the virtue of God. You know, a sister will not wear very loose things. That's the principle.
But today I want to go back to Genesis chapter 3. Verse 21. It reads, also for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them. So I can see that here also I don't see the difference on what God made for a man and different to a woman. I think that's why I say child is, in my case, to women, it's not bad.
And I also think that in the Bible, I look at Genesis chapter 21. A gente pode a família um papa não fica a dar na ego a gente entra na mala com a cabeça de família e com o lá na casa a mãe não me deu dinheiro na vida na ele não me deu dinheiro a ha tá de tudo chino aqui
você vai me dizer como isso tudo isso
a galera já pode ir o que me dirá
isso que é mim trouxes
a gente não tinha tudo então hoje
foi que é mim isso que é so I cannot say women we should forgive them to wear trousers.
Don't go down that road. You are saying that God is the inventor of trousers.
Okay, it's
no, just come and we don't know anything about it. Don't happen, okay? Don't speculate, okay?
Mukana cila siapa muda dua wala nak aku perasan pa tapi senai se timur tapi senai so nggak tapi baru cuma ada si aja Mesir ya aja sen aluka itu ni ni siapa kalau cuma tu agenda nanti bau dah ikut. Nisi kuku amai pasian, tuang sumi seku pada tidak nangku kutuangkan.
Is still ask is concerning still on the one most obvious man concerning the women dress code and the makeup also them and what about if a woman found on both things should we stop her?
You know, if you can stop her, if you listen to you, then it's good.
And I would have this uncle in the
you know, that's why I said for someone to change her behavior, she need to first what be cultivated. If she has understood that inner beauty is more important than just, you know, outward adornment. And naturally she will not dress up very wildly. You understand what I'm saying? What? Okay,
Another one thing to say is that there are two things. It is what the Bible is teaching us really, in general. It's just a proper dressing. But what that proper dressing now, it was what is proper in Zambia would be different from what is proper in Ghana. The real issue is the woman should be dressed properly. That's it. Equally, if it is, as the preacher is saying, if the heart is pure, you would know what is proper for. If within that community of faith, what is proper to put on. You will not provoke the weak by putting on maybe British attire, which is not acceptable in Zambia, for instance. They will say, I don't know, I think here. People who are mature in faith and pure, we just look at the way other people dress and say, I think this is what is acceptable in this community. To me, that is what I think. Until our mindset is changed, maybe in the future, our children will accept everything in the church. But meanwhile, I think even the Bible does not say what to put on and what to put on. It's just the spirit of the heart and very proper dressing.
I'm not sure on the clothing, I think on the dressing code, I think we have discussed much. As for me, I think I still need a Daniel to know. First Timothy chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. I needed a bit more clarification. It's like I'm not intimidated.
this one is similar to 1 Corinthians.
Anti Corinthians e Palencio a fini in Corinto a fini la return to 1 Corinthians. Anti a fini Corinto a fini la fini.
Verse 34. Okay, let your women keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but they are to be submissive, as the law also says. And if they want to learn something, let them ask their own husband at home, for it's shameful for women to speak in church. Or did the word of God come originally from you, or was it you only that is speak? Now, I think here there's a problem in the church of Corinth as well.
Also,
let your women keep silent.
Meaning
the women in Corinth shouldn't be preaching or talking or teaching. Obviously, some people say because the women there wanted to be like men, and for half of people to men. They have but we know that this only refers to a particular group of women. How do we know? Refers to the married women. If you read the verse 34, saying that, 35. If they want to learn something, speak to their own husband. For sure, at that time, not every sister was married. So this message is directed to a specific group of women. Surely those who were married, right? They wanted to be free from the husband, to be on par with the husband. That's why Paul said no. I give you a very simple example. You know, in the church during service, some churches allow brother and sisters to sit together. But let's say if you find that this is a problem in a particular church, whereby every time when brother and sister sit together, they would not listen to someone, they will start talking. And then you can say to them, now from today onwards, you cannot sit together.
I'm from my class.
So men sit on one side and sisters sit on the other side. But this does not apply to other churches. Why? Because there is a specific problem in this church.
There is
an answer. That's why this order is given. So the lesson here is this. Order must be set in the church. So that worship and what? The function of the church can be carried out fully and smoothly. Now I want you to turn back to 1 Timothy. chapter 2, verse 11. Let a woman learn in silence with all submission. I do not permit a woman to teach. Now, if you look at the second part, it said to have authority over a man. So to teach is equal to having authority over a man. If that's the case, if a woman teaches because she wants to show that she has authority over a man, then she shouldn't teach. Now, if you read this answer,
Minimum chapter 18.
Verse 26. Now, so he began to speak boldly in the synagogue when Aquila and Priscilla met him. They took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately.
Avedi oyo atende ke mwisinagogo kusosa nashipa elo Priscilla na Aquila pakumu mfwa gali mubulire bamutwele umwabo no kumulondolwela inshira yakwalesa ukwa
Apollos here was taught by this couple.
Apollos asa misho kuri
not just the husband alone. The wife also involved in teaching. In teaching Apollos. In actual fact, this couple is a very unique couple. It seems that the wife was more outstanding than the husband. In terms of preaching the gospel.
But where did this woman teach? Was it in a church or was it home where she went to?
But you see, the thing is, Paul says he does not permit a woman to teach. The church can be anywhere, isn't it? Can be in a synagogue. You know, in those days, their church is in houses. So if a woman wants to teach, thinking that she has authority over men, then she shouldn't teach.
Okay.
Right. Any other question?
Literally.
Well, we spent about 1 hour talking. Right now we come to chapter 3 now.
Chapter 3.
Here it talks about qualification of elders. Look at verse 1. You know, if someone expresses the desire of wanting to be a bishop, I think all of us will jump on him saying that you are such a proud guy. How dare you want to be an elder? Shame on you want to be an elder. There are so many other people who are more qualified than you. You want to be an elder? What does Paul say? This is a faithful saying. If a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. Why is it that when a person desire the position of a bishop, he desire a good work? We need to understand the situation in those days. To be a bishop is like to be a what? To be a representative of the church. We need to understand that in those days, anything happened to the church, so the elders what must show himself. For example, during the time of persecution, who will be slaughtered first? The elders.
Pachirolo.
To be honest, so when you put yourself in that position, you are actually risking your own life. Today is different. When you say you want to be an elder, you want to sit on a high chair. You want to boss over everyone. You want to boss everyone around. It's totally different mindset altogether. In those days, they risked their life to be an elder. Today, the position of a bishop is deemed so highly. Many people crave after that position.
Right?
To be honest, to put it slightly differently, it's like to nourish the pride within. In those days, those who desire to be a bishop, it's like they are willing to sacrifice their life for the church. That's why their mindset is very different from ours. Okay, even then, you know, for those who are to be chosen as a bishop, they must fulfill the requirements as stated. Bishop then must be blameless. The husband of one wife must be temperate, sober minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach. So it's hard to be someone to be blameless. He must be the husband of one wife. What does it mean here? You know, in those days, you know, they married many wives. Yeah? Men married many wives. So for them to come in, so you find that a man who has many wives is not fit to be a bishop. You know, we baptized a member. He passed away already in Uganda. He lived in an island called
Siguru.
To me, he's like a what do you call it? He's like the chief of the island. I remember when he was baptized, he was about 60-something years old, 61. After baptism, he only lived for about 3-4 years. This guy has 6 wives. The youngest one is 24. But he accepted the gospel. He wants to come to the true church. What can you do? Can you say no? Because you have too many wives. So no, he's
still
baptized. But after 3-4 years, he died.
3-4
So, you know, like him, he is not suitable to be a bishop. Right? Now, if let's say that you're married, your wife died, and then you remarry, that is different. You understand what I'm saying? Right? Or before you are converted, you married before, and then you married to another person, and then you come to believe in the church, but you only have one wife. That is different. Different from what Paul is saying. You understand what I'm saying? Okay, now we move on. So, must be temperate, yeah? Must be of good temperament. You know, it's important when you look after the church, eh? Your temperament must be very good, it must be very gentle, kind, and so on and so forth. Sober minded. Up here must be very clear. Must be very sharp to detect spiritual things. You cannot ordain someone who is not very sharp up here spiritually. Who is not what? Who who is not mature in understanding. Now here it also says of good behavior. Meaning his behavior is not criticized.
It's
well accepted. He must be hospitable, very kind to others, must be willing to receive others. Here it also says, able to teach. This is very important. You know, if someone who is very nice, very good, you know, but if he does not know the Bible, if he cannot teach, can he be an elder? He cannot. If they say he fulfilled all the requirements, with one exception, he cannot teach. Can he be? It is advisable that he shouldn't be. Because your elder, you must be able to teach the word of God. Okay, the next one. Not given to wine. What is your local drink called? Not too much kubu. You cannot, you know, every day drink one. This man, when he wants something, he he wants to defend his drinking habit. And the other thing is not violent, though. That's why we said anyone who beats their wife cannot be an elder. Don't give excuses by saying that, because I want to teach her a lesson. No, you don't teach a lesson. You don't teach your wife a lesson in this manner. I'm not happy with her. She is not a child. She is your wife. She is part of you. So a violent man, anyone who beats his wife, cannot be a worker of the church. Brother, do you beat your wife? Cannot be a worker. I know. I look in your face. You cannot be a worker. I've seen that. We have made it a rule already. Your violent man cannot be a worker. Joshua, do you beat your wife? Are you sure?
No.
Okay. Victor, do you beat your wife?
He's
a witness.
He's a witness that you beat your wife.
Disqualified.
Brother, do you beat your wife?
I'm not a polar.
No, it's good. So, cannot be, but if you beat your wife, you are violent. There's something wrong with you. It's true. The Bible says you must treasure. How do you treasure? Do you call this treasure? No. Why do you still beat? And you stop. Very good. No, seriously, if you beat your wife, how are you going to teach people? Very difficult. What are you going to say to the church? Let's say you officiate a wedding, How are you going to tell people that you must love your wife? You're beating your wife all the time. You tell the newlywed couple to love one another. Husband must love. Excuse me.
Ah, I think
be serious, huh?
Okay,
now, the other thing is not greedy for money.
This is
a big killer in the TJC. If you love money so much that you are willing to betray Christ, then you cannot be a
prostitute.
You know, we are always put to the test as workers. How are we going to control ourselves? I told some of you before. There's one time a sister. An old sister said to me, her life savings. She saved a lot of money.
I'd like to get PSU.
She wanted me to carry to the other church for church building. Pastor, take this. I said, I cannot take. You want a receipt? How much is that? No, just take. Bring it to the church. I said, how much is this inside? If I'm a greedy man, service church. What service church for carrying the money to the other church? You must not succumb to covetousness. Very important. Even if it means that today you have no food to eat. If this is God money, you cannot take. This is not your money. God knows.
Listen,
So if you can overcome this, you are qualified to be a worker.
They
all put to the test. I put the test all the time. But gentle, not quarrelsome. Again, he said not covetous. So I don't understand. Not greed for money and then end with not covetous. So to me, this must have been a problem in the church at Ephesus. This is also human. Why does it repeat itself? There's a word for it, covetous. Not dignity or not. Mystery is not given. Not greed for money or loving money. The last one is loving money. The first one is greed for money. You want more and more and more. The other one, you love money so much. Instead of loving God, you love money. I tell you, everyone will put to the test. How do you know that you love God more than loving money? We know. Like on the Sabbath. There's a brother. I'm telling his true story. He's a plaster. You know plaster, right? He's a builder. He do plastering. You know when he first started doing it, not many jobs were given to him. So one day he was given a job on Saturday.
Oh,
he was so happy he jumped on the job.
Money.
And then you know what happened? God stopped giving him jobs for many days. And then he was afraid. He came and repented before God. God, sorry. So from then on, he did not do anything on the Sabbath. You know what happened? God bless him. Tremendously, I'm telling you. One day I was walking with him to go to a house to preach. While we are walking, people start calling, hey, come. Do my walk, whatever. Non-stop. He earned millions. Why? Because he keeps the Sabbath.
We know.
He learned from his mistakes. So if you love money more than God,
not fit to be a worker. That's why in the church you cannot simply pick anyone to be a worker. Even though this guy is so good, so nice, so wonderful, but if he loves money more than God, he cannot be a worker.
Yeah,
serious. It's a fact. Unless he changes. Otherwise, it's difficult for him to be a worker.
Yeah, how
are you going to church? How are you going to preach?
You
say, love God more when your heart is loving money. What is in your eyes is, every time when you look in front, it's kwacha. You only see kwacha sign. How are you going to tell people to love God? You can't. Is that not true? But God
will
say, say it silent prayer.